GAA program with Tom Comack in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, stocking the official Donegal Connell range for adults and children. Gear up for Christmas at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA agus fáilte go dtíon clár cum an Luke Clark scéal na seach na seo le mí Tom Comack with you as always on a Wednesday night on 9 o'clock, and as always as we say at this time, hope you can stay with us. Well, tonight we pay a tribute to the esteemed Ulster Secretary Danny Murphy, who sadly passed away this morning after a courageous battle with illness. Danny was an outstanding leader of the association in the province, and indeed recognised as one of the true visionaries of Gaelic games, not only in Ulster but right throughout the association. And he passed away this morning, as I said, after a long battle with illness. And we'll pay tribute to him in the company of Pete McGrath, former down-winning manager, of course, now manager of Fermanagh, and of course also manager of Ulster. And we'll be talking to Pete as well about Ulster's interprovincial championship meeting with Munster this weekend. Of course, the finals of the interprovincial series are semi-finals and finals of the interprovincial, or the Old Railway Cup, as many of you will recall it in the past, are on this weekend. We'll talk to Pete about that. Ulster play Munster, and Leinster play Connacht, and for the second year in a row, no Donegal man involved in the squad. Peter will explain that to us as well, and no Monaghan or Derry either. But we'll talk to Peter about that in a moment, and we'll be also joined by Brian McInniff, of course, a former Ulster manager as well, a man who has a long association with Danny Murphy, both in his administrative role and also, of course, in his role as Ulster secretary, and of course Brian's long involvement with the interprovincial series and manager of the Ulster team. That's to come in just a moment. And well, as I said, if you want to listen back to the programme, of course, at any stage, or miss any of the programme, or you want to tune in to listen back to it again tomorrow, you can do so. We have that new facility now on our app, on the Highland Radio app, from tomorrow morning. And we also, you can listen back tomorrow, from tomorrow on www.highlandradio.com. So no excuses for those of you who say you missed the programme, so you can listen back. And as always, of course, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to text us, you can do so on 086-77-00-555. And if you want to text us from the north of Ireland or outside the dialing area, you can do so on 00353-86-77-00-555. It's the same number, just those extra international numbers from dialing purposes. But as I said, sad news, and Ulster GAA and GAA family in general are in mourning today following the sad passing of Danny Murphy, the Ulster Secretary CEO for the last over 30 years, and certainly he was a giant of a man in terms of administration in the county. But earlier this evening, I spoke to Pete McGrath, a man who has a long association with Danny Murphy, both as a manager of Down when they won the Ulster Championship, an All-Ireland Championship in 1991. Danny was the chairman, and he was a team mentor along with Pete as well in 1994 when Down won the All-Ireland again.
Well, Pete, delighted you could join us tonight. And, of course, we want to talk to you about Saturday's interprovincial semi-final, Ulster versus Munster, and the interprovincial series in general. But, first of all, our commiserations to you and to everybody in Down today on the sad passing of a great Down man, a great GAA man, a great stalwart, Danny Murphy.
Yes, well, Danny was certainly a Down man and will be a massive loss to this county. But I think we could also say with great justification that Danny was an Ulster man. And I think the problems of Ulster will be a lot poorer off for Danny's demise, because the contribution that Danny Murphy made since becoming secretary or CEO of the Ulster Council, he radicalised, he revolutionised the GAA in this part of the world. I think he brought Ulster to the very, very, peak of performance in terms of administration, coaching, games administration, how we did our business. And behind all that, he was a thoroughly decent and a thoroughly honest man who made a massive contribution to the Down success of the 90s. He was chairman in 91, and he was a selector with me in 1994. So, I mean, his legacy in Down is definitely there. It's enshrined. And, of course, his achievements across the province and across the island of Ireland, I think, are possibly unparalleled.
Yeah, and he really was the grassroots man, wasn't he? You know, as you mentioned there, came through his club, Bourne, I think, wasn't it, and was chairman of the county board and was also a mentor with you and, you know, administrator at the highest level in Ulster and the man that has led huge change in Ulster and has probably meant that Ulster is a leading province and leading the way in so many ways in terms of coaching and games development and administration and management and club and everything.
Yes, there's no doubt, and as you say, Danny had that ability to recognise the importance of every facet of the GA, every level of the GA, the most humble club right up to, let's say, the higher echelons of Croke Park, and he had time for everyone, and I say he knew that the GA as an organisation, covered every aspect of games and every aspect of life from juvenile games right to All Ireland finals, and he had this ability to deal with all these different sectors and be the same person all the time. And that person was a very straight man, a very intelligent man, a very well informed man, a man who got things done, and he was a man whom people knew they could trust.
Yeah.
They could trust Danny Murphy implicitly. And I think that will be his greatest legacy.
Yeah, and he was a visionary too, wasn't he?
Well, if you look at how he transformed and revolutionised and brought, you know, the province of Ulster into, let's say, the 21st century, in terms of the coaching at all levels, the games, coaching for administrators, you look at the development conferences that take place every year in Ulster and they cover every facet of the GAA, from administration to hurling, football. And I mean, he definitely put Ulster on a level that was, I think, beyond any level which any of the all three provinces ever had.
Yeah, and one other thing I think he has to get great credit for as well is he broke down barriers and huge barriers. And I'm talking at civil service level in where the GA came from, the poor relation to been well looked after.
Absolutely. He was determined to ensure that the GA got, it's, if you like, it's share of the cake, because he recognised the work that the GA was doing for society generally. And, I mean, he recognised and realised that the funding that was there was something that the GA was entitled to. So he certainly opened a lot of doors that way. And as well as that, he was a bridge builder. I mean, his work in so many cross-community ventures, which brought people into the GAA and made people more aware of the GAA who weren't maybe naturally GAA people. I think that as well was a massive contribution and a massive achievement that Danny succeeded in bringing about.
And we know he wasn't well in the last couple of years and he was about to retire, a new man about to take over next month, but we expected and hoped that he would be still around and be still a wise counsel for many years to come.
Yes, well, I was speaking to Danny about a fortnight ago at a function in Down. And, yeah, he battled, you know, heroically against ill health this last number of years. But he continued to live up to his responsibilities and do what he could do. Obviously, yes, he did step down and was Brian McAvoy will be the new CEO. But as I said, Danny faced up in a very dignified and in a very heroic way to the illness that he had and kept going right to the very end.
Yeah. Anyway, and I know we're going to talk about the interprovincials, and he had a great fondness for that as well. I know from his time involved with Brian McAniff and Joe Kernan and the success that Ulster enjoyed during his term as well.
Yes, there's no doubt Danny Murphy had a great love of the Railway Cup. He saw the significance of the competition. He was keenly aware of its history. And, you know, maybe at times in Croke Park, he was maybe a lone voice that advocated that the series should continue and that it should be promoted and that it should be, in whatever way possible, supported, actively supported by the people in Croke Park. So he had a great love for it. And, yeah, he always worked closely with the with the managers of Railway Cup teams. And, you know, I think it's I suppose, ironic in a sense that on the weekend that Danny has passed away, the upcoming weekend is Railway Cup weekend or Interprovincial weekend. So he certainly will be in our thoughts on Saturday when we play Munster.
And tell me, I was reading that you have got a squad together.
Yeah, we have a squad together. It hasn't been easy over this last 7 or 8 weeks. A lot of players from a number of counties, you know, are unable to commit. In some cases, due to injury, players may be coming out at the end of a long, hard season or in rehab or are taking a well-deserved and maybe a well-needed rest. Some other players kick the opportunity in December to go on a holiday because they don't have much opportunity any other time of the year. And you have the usual mixture of weddings and things like that, which people are already committed to. So, I mean, these things inevitably happen. But nevertheless, we've got a squad of 24 players. We had a session with them last Thursday night. We're doing another session tomorrow night. And we go forward to play Munster on Saturday afternoon.
And I see no Donegal or no Monaghan men. I suppose, is that a result of maybe the success and maybe the heavy schedules these teams have?
Well, quite possibly. I think it was either 5 or 6 Donegal players were directly contacted in regard to their availability. And for a variety of reasons, none of them were able to commit. Monaghan players, a number of them are Conor McManus is doing rehab at the moment. Colin Walsh, who was very keen, picked up an injury in a club match and had to rule himself out. And Charlie O'Connell has a previous commitment that he was unable to get out of. So at the end of the day, there'll always be players unavailable, I mean, at any level of football. I suppose we're fortunate in that we have a lot of players to pick from. Mm. And the squad that we have picked, there are 5 or 6 Tyrone players, there's 4 or 5 from Armagh, there's 3 Down men, 3 Armagh, 2 Cavan, 2 Antrim. So there's a good spread there, and they're all talented players, they're all accomplished inter-county senior footballers, and I am very happy with the squad we've got and very confident that they'll equip themselves very, very well against Munster on Saturday.
It's very unfortunate the way the Interprovincials or the Railway Cup has gone, and I know we are probably harping back to the golden days of the 60s and the 70s when it was a major competition and it's been kept on life support for quite a while. But it's unfortunate because I know players like the representative element of it or have done in the past anyway.
Yes, well, I suppose if you look at all the players in the entire country who play football, and you know, just a fraction of them get to play for their county, and then a smaller fraction again get the opportunity to play for their province. So it is, I think, and players regard it as an honour to be able to represent their province. But you are right. The calendar is very, very crowded. You know, the inter-provincial club championships have really taken on a very strong place in the GAA in recent times. Inter-county football is now so demanding at senior level that, you know, players are given so much of their time and energies to their county teams during the spring and summer and into the autumn in some cases. So to find a space for the Railway Cup that's going to enable players enthusiastically to commit to it, that is a challenge. The players, I think, do want to play it. A lot of administrators want to retain it, but I suppose it's the conundrum is, when do you play it and how do you make it, you know, really attractive to the public? Mm. There's no problem selling it to players generally, but the public in recent years have maybe turned their back on it to an extent because there's so much football out there that they can watch either live or on TV. So it's something the GAA maybe should just decide to take a serious look at and to see if the Interprovincial can be seriously revived and given a place in the calendar that is going to do it justice.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you think, but I'm not sure. I'm not convinced that the second weekend in December is the correct weekend for it.
Well, no. I mean, there are many things that militate against the second weekend in December. I mean, we're very close to Christmas, and a lot of people are sort of getting into shutdown, and players particularly who have, in many cases, had long seasons, and the bodies need time to recover and to repair. I know to ask them to commit to a couple of training sessions and maybe a competitive match on the 10th of December maybe just isn't the ideal. All I know is that the players who have committed are enthusiastic and I think they deserve great credit for making themselves available. And they're looking forward to the match on Saturday. But, yeah, you know, in the depths of winter isn't maybe the best time for playing, you know, any competition. The both semi-finals are on Saturday in Parnell Park and the final is on Sunday. Whichever two teams win on Saturday will face a final on Sunday. Well, I would say the four teams that are competing on Saturday will be all very keen to make the final the next day. I would like to think that the football will be competitive. I think it'll be good football. Hopefully it'll be expansive, attractive football because there will be plenty of very, very good players you know, taking part in these games.
Look at Pete, thanks a million and the best of luck and thanks for that tribute to your old buddy Danny Murphy as well.
Thank you, Tom.
Gee, Vugas Falter Rash, and well, before we were joined by Brian McAniff and our continuous tribute to the esteemed Secretary and CEO of the Ulster Council, Danny Murphy, who sadly passed away this morning. Just first of all, text in here to congratulate Pádraig Ryan and the management and backroom team of St. Junan's under 16 Gaelic footballers on winning the Paul McGuire Cup last weekend. A wonderful achievement for all involved. That number was texted in to us on 086 77 00 555, and well, if you want to text us, you can quite right, you can do so on that number. Remember, you can also listen back to the GAA program on www.highlandradio.com, and I know we have quite a few people listening live right around the world on www.highlandradio.com as well, and we also, you can listen back on the Highland Radio app. And indeed, very well, big congratulations to Pádraig Ryan and the St. Junan's club team who won that Paul McGuire Cup final, defeating St. Peter's of Warren Point last weekend 6-10 to 1-5. Michael Gallagher with three, Conor O'Donnell, Dar Ellison and Paddy Tobin scored the goals, and well, a big performance, Michael Gallagher taking the man of the match. But it was good news as well this week, I think, for Conor O'Donnell, who had a sensational season with St. Junan's under 16s, especially in the Ulster Championship. Conor has been named as one of the future stars of Ulster College's football for 2016, and I'm not sure if Manny Donegalman can claim that, but that's an award, and certainly that's after his performances in that Paul McGuire Cup final, the defeat, as I said, St. Peter's of Warren Point. And it's just worth noting that the captain of St. Peter's of Warren Point, his dad is from Dundon, indeed his granddad too. He was Peter Sweeney, and he's the son of Peter Sweeney, who is a doctor and a GP in Warren Point, and a grandson of Peter Dodo Sweeney, Dr. Peter Dodo Sweeney of the Guido Road and Dunlow. And he, just to add a little bit of extra old history to it, his uncle Paul Sweeney was a member of his granduncle Paul Sweeney was a member of the very first Donegal minor team in 1956 to win an Ulster minor championship. There's a little bit of nostalgia for you. Congratulations are also in order tonight to St. Columbus College Stranorlar. They're celebrating an Ulster under 16 schools Arthur's Cup final win today, following their 2-15-3-9 victory over Holy Cross College Strabane in Celtic Park. That game was played earlier today, and that's a big win. Oisín Gallen and Conor Bonner scored the goals for St. Columbus, and Gallen also kicked 11 points, all but five of them from play, in a man of the match performance at centre half forward. John Moore, Jack Gillespie, Kieran Dolan and Alex McGeehan were the other St. Columbus scorers. Tom Mullen and Adam Edwards and Sean Maxwell scored the goals for Holy Cross, who led 1-6 to 0-6 at half time. So certainly it's been a good week for Donegal on the Rage teams, between St. Junan's winning the Paul McGuire and now the St. Columbus College winning the Arthur's Cup. I'm not sure if that's a first for them. It may be a first, but maybe, no doubt, somebody will tell us that. But I'm delighted to say now I'm joined on the line by Brian McAniff. And Brian, I know you want to pay tribute to Danny Murphy, but I know as well you're always keen to hear how Donegal underage teams are doing and how Ulster.
I would like to add my congratulations, Tom, to St. Junan's and St. Columbus, and say to the people out there listening, playing right half back was a man called Peter McAniff, a boy, I should say, And it's a position I played myself, and I gather he's a good one. He'd be a son of Terry McInnes, my nephew.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been a good week all round, and certainly there's quite a lot of good underage talent coming through in the county.
Without a shadow of a doubt, a lot of good work's been done, Tom, and that'll bear fruit in the years to come. And long may it continue, and continue to grow and grow and grow and get better and better.
Yeah. Anyway, sad news this morning, Brian. Danny Murphy, you have a long association with him.
I had reason to talk to him very recently, Tom, and it was sad. You know, he knew that the end was nigh, and it was sad for both of us because we go back quite some time. I served in Ulster Council, not during his term. We got to know each other actually more through the Railway Cup, and then later when I went on to Central Council on the GAC management and Crow Park, where Danny was a very, very able representative for the province of Ulster, and indeed was very well regarded at Central Council level and within the GAA. A very honest, honourable man, a very capable man, and he brought the Ulster Council administration to a whole new level, as far as those that work with it will well know. Yeah. A very firm man, but a very firm man, and he wouldn't stand fools very, very lightly. But he's done great work for the Ulster Council and for the GAA in this province, and there's no words of mine could describe the sadness I feel, because I had a great relationship with Danny from I was managing the Ulster team from, I suppose, in 1983 to 2007, and no stone was left unturned when he went by way of preparation and asked Danny for anything. It was delivered.
Yeah, and he was a man of many strengths, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, you know, he's the university qualification. He was a farmer, and then such was the way of workload. He had to lease the farm to concentrate, put his full weight behind the association. But a very capable man, Tom, like, and well regarded in Croke Park, a man that could go further in within the GAA, could have stood for president of the association, I suppose, on many occasions, or he could have applied for the chief executive post and been well up to it. But his love was Ulster GAA as such, and his own club and county, where he was county chairman when they won the All-Ireland in 1991.
And tell me, as I said, he had many strengths, you know, and we've heard, I don't know if you were listening to Pete McGrath there talking about how the wonderful work he had done, and it's well known that he led Ulster at a time of big change and really challenged people in high offices, and it's actually ironic that he was honoured earlier this year by the First Minister Arlene Foster and by the Deputy First Minister Martin McGuinness at Stormont. You know, that's something that we didn't believe would happen 20 years ago.
Oh yes, had the foresight to take on board the situation that was evolving after the peace initiative up the north. He grasped it with two hands and brought forward everything to the association, because a lot of the funding that we got for the professional way of the Ulster Council, he saw that it would come in by way of government grants, and then Kismet Park, and it's caused a little of acrimony. He succeeded in getting sort of grant aid for that. I think it was in excess of 70 million that was put aside. He was just an unreal administrator, and knew how to pull the strings at the same time, and how to work the political system. But well got within the political system by both sides of the house.
And another strength of his was he was unbelievably strong on rules and knew the rule book inside out.
Well, there's no doubt. Many of the time I phoned him when I was put to the pin on my collar, maybe as a former county chairman, or maybe as an acting club secretary here from Bundoran, or maybe some clubs that sort advised close at hand for cases that were coming up. The first man I'd have on the phone was Danny Murphy, because he knew exactly where it was, and he could put it in uncertain terms to you that he had no mission going in there with such a case.
But anyway, he sadly missed. His funeral's on Saturday, I think. Saturday at 12 noon, I think, is it? I've seen that somewhere, yeah. He settles at 12 noon in St Mary's Church in Bourne, and I've no doubt that Ulster will turn out in large numbers.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Tom, I will be there. I will be an awful lot of people right across the province, because he was a great Gael, there's no doubt about that, and he gave his life to the association, he'd be a very sad loss. And a very big loss to myself as a very, very personal friend.
Yeah. Anyway, just before we let you go, I'm not sure if you were listening to Pete McGrath, but he's got a squad together. Railway Cup weekend is be one that you see gets excited about at one time.
Oh, well, there's no doubt. Tom, my good health spares me, which it should do, I hope to cover the two games, the weekend games. And I think that it's great that it's been played off this year. Weather permitting, because we were snowed out and frosted out the last time. But, you know, it's terrible that we're playing at this day of the year. But be that as nice that it's been played as such. And I know that the players within the province also will give it the respect that it deserves.
Yeah. Anyway, look at Brian. Thank you for joining us. And if we don't talk to you before Christmas, a very happy Christmas to you and all your family.
Well, no, look, we wash it, Dutch.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you indeed. That's Brian McAniff, ending our tribute there to the late Danny Murphy, Roni, and CEO of the Ulster Council, who sadly passed away this morning after a courageous battle with illness. And our Yes, Jake Arroway, and tributes have been pouring in all day. Michael Hassan, chairman of the Ulster Council, and indeed Sean Dunyan, chairman of the Donegal County Board, has also paid tribute to the late Danny Murphy, who I must say myself on a personal level, I had dealings with him both as a club official and as a media man, and I also found him very fair, very honest, and a decent gentleman. That's about it. Remember, Donegal GA County Convention is on Sunday, and of course Donegal begin their preparations for the McKenna Cup with a challenge game against Sligo on Sunday in Kalash Alley. 1 o'clock, I think, is the time for that one. From me, Tom Cormack, from my guest tonight, Brian McAniff, Pete McGrath, and from Jimmy Stafford on sound, Gugee and Chalk, and the Huggins, Lonergan, Bannock.